Yes, 850 The Buzz.
We're back.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. I'm on your host for the next hour that we have left. Here I won't. Larry Dial.
Hello. Good morning.
And our number is 860-0850. #850 if you are a 360 communication customer. Our sponsors today are Computer Renaissance with two great area locations. One at Crossroads Shopping Center in Cary and the other at the North Hills Plaza across from North Hills Mall. Mm-hmm. And by Mindspring. Reach them at 1-888-M-SPRING or on the web at www.mindspring.com. And with us in the studio, special guest, Kevin Farini of Cyrix / National Semiconductor. And we're talking about technology and where technology is going and speeds, and can talk about anything that you want to, any question. What is it, Larry?
I just wanted to ask Kevin, even though this is radio, you can't all see this. He brought this nice color brochure along called the Cyrix Media Center, and I just started looking at it. This is a hell of an idea. I mean, this is an all-in-one box that does everything at home.
Yeah.
Really, really pretty neat.
It's kind of a Skunkworks program that our engineering guys did, which was to look at the set-top box that sits next to your TV right now that hooks you into cable, and to kind of invent what we think the future is going to look like in terms of everything that that box is going to be able to do. And, you know, that would include, you know, TV tuner, access to Internet, a full-blown PC.
Phone answering machine, I see.
And, you know, everything. And it's kind of a conceptual thing. It's not a product. We brought it to Comdex in November, and just a huge response to it. And it's actually taking us into whole new areas of customers to go talk to. You know, the TV industry is merging with the PC industry, and you know, no one knows who's going to be the boss there. So the TV guys are having to learn PCs, and you know, what is the next generation TV tuners and boxes and form factors going to look like, and the PC guys are having to get back into the multimedia world, which
Steve Jobs,
it's a clash
in
of two worlds, and so the customer base that we talk to is very, very diverse, you know, going to Sony and Zenith and all these different folks who are trying to figure out, you know, what is this stuff going to look like in 2 years. So this is a Skunkworks technology demo that pulls the Media GX and all of the external hardware together, and as we were talking about the single chip PC, this is where this stuff starts to come together a year from now, where we'll be doing DVD and MPEG 2 decode on chip, and really getting the cost of the hardware solution down.
John, good morning. You on 850 The Buzz?
Good morning, gentlemen. I just thought I'd call in. Remark, since you had you had your National Semiconductor guy there.
No, Cyrix guy.
A National Semiconductor company.
Yep. Go ahead.
Well, they're all the same. But I remember, you know, a few years back, about six, if my memory serves me right in the time frame, 6 or 8 months before we saw RAM prices start to drop, there was that. You heard the story about the fire, some fire in a Japanese factory, and that was the only factory that could produce the epoxy.
Yeah.
And at that time, everybody was saying, you better buy your memory because memory's going up.
And it did.
And it did.
Yeah, but not for very long.
Mm.
And then it took a nosedive, and here we are today. And I always wondered, yeah, it did go up, but it certainly didn't go up the same amount that it came down. Maybe, again, it might be 6, 8, 9 months later, maybe a year, the same amount. I mean, it's just crashed as far as prices. And I always wondered if that was a setup by, you know, the big manufacturers to try to get as much squeeze and money as they could, because they knew that the price.
No. That plant in Japan or Taiwan, wherever it was, really did burn down.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
And it was building, you know, some huge percentage of this fundamental plastic material. I can't remember what it was. you know, it was impacting, you know, basically a futures market, you know, where that left. And what you have now are, in the Far East, just billions and billions and billions of dollars over the last 10 years invested by the Koreans, the Chinese, the Taiwanese on building semiconductor plants and basically building for unlimited capacity. And I think to a large extent that all that capacity's come online and you're just swimming in memories. And that just drives the market pricing down because they're, you know, they're trying to fill those factories up, and they got to sell that material.
Well, as an end user, it's sure been great to be able to, you know, put 48K in my machine at home.
Yeah.
You have 48K?
Something like that, 48, 49.
48 meg.
I'm sorry, meg.
I had 48K in the TI, yeah.
It's only numbers.
No, but John, talking about a setup by the big guys, no, it's not, like Kevin said, and I agree. But there is one side of it that is a setup, and it is a way to make more money. When a factory burns down today, this morning, and the prices locally go up, this afternoon,
right?
That's a way, you know, I said, okay, now I'm going to make more money because I'm not going to be, it's going to cost a lot, so I'm going to start selling it a lot now.
Right.
And that's what I was talking about. I remember when that thing burned down, and that's when 1 meg Sims went up to about $80 a piece, like overnight, which there is no reason for except it's economics, you know. If you can get it. But some of the, like, Sam's Club had a bunch of memory that they were they obligated to sell it for the same price until they get the new shipment. And I went around the state. I went to two other cities and bought everything that they had at that price. Because I mean, you had to get it because otherwise you have to raise the prices of the machine.
Yeah.
But when those distributors are sitting on thousands of Sims that they bought for $10.
Right.
And they're selling it for $15.
Right.
And suddenly they heard that something burned down in Japan, and right away they make a decision, okay, now we're going to start selling it for $50.
Right.
Yeah, this is a setup.
Well, you see that. But
there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's the same thing with gasoline prices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Why don't we see it go down by 5 cents overnight when they lower the prices overseas, but we see it going up 5 cents the minute that somebody announces it?
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess that's where the term... you know, the common term perception is reality comes from. You see that every day in the stock market.
Yeah.
That's true. It's value pricing. It's not cost-based pricing. You know, Intel does not, there's no relationship between the cost of a penny and its price.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Okay, our number is 860-0850, pound 850, if you're a 360 communication customer in your car, just drive carefully and give us a call. We'll pay for the call.
Now, Kevin said something. I was just thinking about the combination of the computer guys and the entertainment guys for people. And Steve Jobs jumped into that this week with it was a very, very almost comical statement that Apple, we would love to work with you people out there because we have the technology in computers. You have the technology in entertainment. Let's get together. I mean, so he's really looking for new avenues, and of course they are somewhat uniquely positioned because they do have a strong expertise in the graphics and multimedia.
Yeah,
but that is, Kevin's exactly right. I mean, we see whether it's Warner Brothers Cable trying to get stuff ready to put, you know, modems and internet access into your home, or whether it's someone like Job saying let's create content, or whether it's Gates buying stuff. Mm-hmm. It's all coming together.
And that's certainly an area where he can try to change the game. You know, if this is a fixed function under the covers computer where you don't need an x86 microprocessor necessarily,
right?
You know, it's an opportunity, and the guy can go out there and drive it can make new opportunities and change the game. You know, whereas right now, you know, it's Mac against millions and millions of PCs, and it's kind of a loser game these days.
The shrinking market.
It's shrinking?
Yes. We talked about that last week, remember?
Kevin. Let's go back to the chips a little bit and
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy. Do you really foresee people with Socket 7, which most people are today, being able to use it for the next, let's say, 2 years?
Yes, I would say that Socket 7 will certainly live for the next 2 years. You know, only the paranoid survive, as Andy Grove says, and what Intel is actively trying to do right now is to shoot Socket 7 in the head and create demand for Pentium 2, because that's how they compete. They just change right. the rules and move on, and that's what they want to do. But, you know, as I said earlier, for a single processor, single user system, Socket 7 is just fine. There's really no benefits that a Pentium 2 brings to you, other than you pay a lot more for it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people would consider that a benefit.
And most of the Pentium 2s that are being sold today are single
right.
processor.
That's
anyway.
Right. And now Intel's been blindsided. The $1,000 PC they pretended wasn't going to exist. Compaq opened the market up a year ago, and now 40% of the machines that are being sold are sub-$1,000 machines. Absolutely caught Intel blindsided. They've just announced a kind of a gutted Pentium 2.
Yeah, which is Sauron, that is horrible.
Which I like to call Cyclops, but the and I can't help myself.
Is that their code name?
No, it's
Sarah's code name.
But it's a marketing gimmick where they take a Pentium 2 module and take off the second level cache, and I guess take the plastic cover off the Pentium 2 and call it a new brand name, and it's kind of a stopgap measure to try to attack the $1,000 market because they don't want to reduce the price of the Pentium 2, so they call it something else, and mm-hmm. you know that. But the performance is going to be hideous.
Oh, it is. I mean, the reviews already and the trades that I've read over the internet are—it's not doing well. It's slow.
Well, that's where you know the market gets very confused when you try to leave talking about performance when you leave the domain of talking strictly in megahertz terms. But megahertz is not a real good measurement of performance. It's how much work are you doing per megahertz. So now they have a Celeron or whatever they call it, a 266 that's slower than their Pentium MMX 233. You know, what does an Intel megahertz mean now? That's a problem that we've perpetually had where our architecture, the Cyrex microprocessor architecture, is so much more efficient than the Pentium has ever been. But you have to wrap 1,000 words around, you know, explaining that.
Well, I always said that Cyrex and AMD are better chips than the Intel.
They
have to prove themselves to the public, to the consumer. Intel, you know, you say Intel, and as a result, they definitely put a lot more work in make sure that the chip works right. We talked about it last time. If Cyrex or AMD were caught with the problem that the Pentium had back then with the
the oops,
they would be out of business. You know, that's it. So they can't afford to be to have that kind of problem. Yeah.
What about an area that really interests me in chips, and that's notebooks? You guys going to do Cyrex plans for notebook chips? Because
absolutely,
Pentium's getting just beat to death out mm-hmm. there now because of their voltage requirements
and
battery usage.
Yeah, the Media GX as a high integration device is perfect for the notebook market, and there's a lot of work though to make that work because all notebooks are totally custom designed.
Yeah,
lots of BIOS work, and so the design cycles are longer. So for the last year, we focused on the Media GX integrated part, mm-hmm. really in the desktop because it was the quickest time to market.
Right,
you go out, make it happen. But notebooks are in the works based upon that. And with the next generation Media GX, which we internally call the MXI, which brings the 6x86MX core into the integrated GX line, you're going to have huge performance, high integration, very low power. I mean, it's going to be beautiful notebooks.
Because that really is. I mean, we were talking last week, the industry stats that I've seen say that the next year is the year of the notebook. I mean, because people mm-hmm. have PCs at home, there are a lot more people buying notebooks. Notebook performance is starting to get as good, if not better in many cases, than PCs. So they're going to be the object of purchase. And the prices are coming down. So there's a real opportunity here. And let's say the Pentium, the new Pentium 2s that are out there, notebooks, are getting bad reviews because they run terrifically fast for about 13 minutes, and then the battery's gone. So it doesn't do much good. But there really seems to be a major opportunity here. And since we talked about this chip sets, it's GX, 6 months ago, I've been thinking about notebooks and these things because I love notebooks. I use them all
right.
the time.
Well, the fact that you're eliminating so many devices off of the motherboard with the integrated GX product line, it's just it's tailor-made for notebooks. So that stuff is in the works.
It's coming. Great.
Do you, I can't remember what exactly processor it was, but do you remember, like in 84, 83, 84, you could buy a board that was the computer that screws on to a 5 1/4 floppy, and that's the whole PC. It was the same size, form factor, and that was the PC. I don't know if it was a 6502 or
I don't remember.
Something like that, but it was, I mean, they were selling it here over at the computer warehouse that used to be on US 1, and that's how it was. You mounted right to the floppy, to the big 5 1/4 floppy. And that was the computer. All
You had a board and a floppy,
huh?
You just had a board and a floppy.
A board and the board, the processor right. board, actually screwed in. It was the same form
factor as the
floppy, and you screwed together. And of course, you had to have wires and stuff for the video and stuff like that to come out. But everything was there. So now you can do that Media GX to fit on a, let's say, a zip drive.
I'm beginning to like this better and better.
There's the computer, you know. There it is, right there.
Well, people like Toshiba and this little libretto. I mean, they've come out with it's a fairly sophisticated mini, I guess they call them mini notebooks. I mean, you can see Media GX having that kind of capability because you can, in fact, you eliminate a lot of parts. Your form only fits what you want it mm-hmm. to fit.
Well, you're talking right along the lines of what the National Semiconductor Vision of the Future is. You know, Brian Hall, the CEO of National, has absolutely changed the entire direction of this company with the acquisitions he's had. You know, his feeling is that if you can get the cost of base PC functionality down to the $300 range, and he calls these things information appliances.
Mm-hmm.
That you're going to take a $100 million PC market and you're going to turn it into a 500 to 600 million units. We're seeing that right now. Media GX is going into cars.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have PCs in the trunks. Eventually, those PCs will be in the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
Your kids are going to be playing video games with a display that's mounted in the back of the driver's seat. That stuff is happening right now in development on high-end cars. And so, you know, 2 years from now, you're going to be able to buy a car with that stuff in it. You're not going to believe where you're going to have PCs. And you'll never even know that they're a PC, you know. You don't know what microprocessors run in your coffee maker right now. And, you know, in the future, you're just going to have hundreds of millions of PCs, effectively.
Look at the success of this Palm Pilot.
And
it's not a fully functional
mm-hmm.
PC.
But
they sold a bazillion of these things,
right.
And when you bring along a full-featured PC in this price range, he's absolutely right.
I hate to do this to you guys.
You hit the break?
Yeah. Oh. Your calls are coming up next on the station. You want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment, 850, The Buzz. And welcome back to Computers 98 on 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer.
Yeah, we have a holiday weekend. It's Easter tomorrow, and
today
is the second day of Passover.
Right.
So happy holiday weekend, everybody out there.
And I feel good, so I'm going to come tonight.
That's very nice.
And yes, Paula, you know them.
Yes, it is the one we know. You know.
Let's
another call. A chip call. Chips Ahoy.
Good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Yes, I have a question about interrupts.
Okay.
I know that I think there are about 15 interrupts. I'm not a big hardware person, but I look at my PC and they're all used up. And is there any new technology in the future to free up interrupts? Or I know there's universal serial bus, but I don't know what's ahead there.
PCI.
PCI.
Yeah.
Can you share interrupts on PCI?
PCI really doesn't use most of the cards don't use. That was
the memory
thing.
Memory map, aren't they?
Yeah, right. I have an Intel modem for the video phone, and it's actually using COM8, and it's up there. It's a PCI card and doesn't use any IRQ.
Okay, so I can just start buying PCI cards and putting them in.
Well, the problem is they don't make as many PCI cards as you would like to get. There's video cards.
You know, Microsoft is driving that. Their new standards for PCs going into 99 are going to eliminate ISA. I mean, they're going
is
to
that
tell.
Right? Well, they should.
PCI, ISA, we want to get rid of it. There's so much legacy baggage that holds back PCs.
Absolutely.
That Microsoft, and this is a good thing. Microsoft is saying the PC in 1999 will eliminate ISA slots.
Well, that will be...
And it's a big step, because everybody's afraid to do it, because they think that, you need your old 10-year-old ISA card and so forth.
Because really, all they do today is video. They do... they just started doing sound cards, and they do network cards and some controllers, SCSI controllers and such. That's the only ones I know, and they're more expensive. So people stay with the old ones.
When's the next WinHEC conference that I can go on the web and check out and see what's ahead for the future?
Well, the last one was down in Orlando on March 23rd, 24th, that week. So I assume that it'll be a year from now. It's typically in San Francisco, but they decided to do it in Florida this year.
They should do those things more often than once a year. In a year, there's a lot.
Well, I know that Microsoft has lots of conferences because they had a WinCE conference just like a week or two ago. WinHEC happens to be a big one where they get thousands of people coming in.
They get developers conferences. But, just go to the Microsoft.com website. And they've got notices about all our conferences. I mean, they're doing a pretty good job of keeping the info coming out there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. And... who do we have? Dan, good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Good morning, Amnon.
Good morning.
You all talking high-powered computer talk this morning.
y'all? Or
but you bring us right down to reality again.
All three of you. it's interesting what little of it I can understand, but I want to know if there's a way when you're in a Windows environment, if you could... have macros or something that could, for instance, have your address, name, address, and phone number recorded. So when you're filling out an application on Windows, on the internet or something like that, you could just press Control C and.
Nah, I'm not familiar with any. Although you can try and do something right. I don't know. Well,
the problem, Dan, is the format of all this. Different kinds of formatting.
The format
on
will
the
be,
forms that you got
to
fill out.
Right, but the form. I mean, to write a script for that will be easy because you have to put your name tab, this tab. But how would you invoke it? I have no idea.
Well, you can invoke it. It's not. That doesn't even bother me. It's what bothers me is that the formats are different.
Yeah, because
it's not common delimited. Text,
right.
It is, different fields require different kinds
some,
of stuff.
Some people, some forms are first name, last name. Some of them are last name, first name.
Address breakups.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
That. I mean, that's been the problem that I have.
I see,
you could always write a little database and then export the stuff into it. But,
Well, right? I guess I thought about that same thing. I thought if I just had a clipboard copy, but I'd have to have one for my first name, one for my middle initial, one for the last name, and all that stuff. That would be more trouble than it's worth.
Lazy bum.
No, it's a good idea.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, back in the good old DOS days, you could do things like that.
That's how you would log on to bulletin boards. Yeah.
Everything was the same text.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay. All right. Good listening to you guys.
Take care. Thanks for calling, Dan. Bye-bye.
this would be good. I mean, I didn't know that Microsoft had demanded that, but then plug and play might even work.
Yeah, and some of the people that talked at the conference, I thought they had a really good point. They said, you know, the easiest way to drive that is on new computers. Somebody's buying a new computer,
right. They're
not going to have a bunch of legacy hardware. Right. So you introduce the idea into, you know, a generation of machines that are coming while you continue to support legacy cards for old machines.
That,
and over the next couple of years, those old machines go away.
The problem today is if you sell a computer and somebody wants a sound card, The 16-bit sound card is something like $20 or less.
Right.
Right.
The PCI sound card is like 50-some, from what I hear. I mean, I never sold one. It's just because of demand. You know, they don't make as many of them. So what happens?
The sound card is indeed the only reason why Eisen needs to live right now.
Yeah. Well, no. Wait, there's this. You cannot find. Now you're beginning to find. Larry, you couldn't live without Eisen right now.
I know I could.
Because of parallel.
I need more.
More parallel for more devices. Mm-hmm. And they do have PCI now that does parallel. I just saw it. So there are other cards that you require to have the ISA require, that you are better off money-wise having the ISA. But if you could spend the money, you would probably be much faster if you go with the PCI. I mean, it was such a pleasure installing that Intel card. Bang, it's in, you know.
No interrupts.
No interrupt problem, nothing.
Well, and a lot of people complain about, you know, having monsters like Microsoft out there. But, you know, you have a guy out there that says if you want to be Windows certified and so forth, this is what the PC needs to look like a year from now. They'll make it happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do everything with consortiums and all that, nothing ever happens. Everybody's arguing. It's just a, you know, big, you know, whatever contest. But they're basically saying this is what a PC needs to look like a year from now, and they'll make it happen.
And we were talking, one of our good sponsors, the Computer Renaissance. When we hear about USBs, I always tell people, just go look at a wall at Computer Renaissance and see the cables and connectors, and then you wonder if USB is ever going to make it because there's so many manufacturers of connectors. And these are all jobs and money up there, so... Mm-hmm. It's going to take a while, but
it will make it.
Oh, I know it will, but it's, you know, think about how hard it is to do. And I guess one of the things about the Windows thing that makes a lot of sense is that I have read that a major holdup on NT5O, the operating system of the next century for Gates, has been plug and play. So this has got to be part of that whole thing. And they have such a problem on a 32-bit kernel figuring out all that legacy stuff that they just get rid of it and say, that's it.
Right.
And we're going to support PCI, and this is it. Then at least they've made the standard.
It simplifies everybody. Oh, you know, it simplifies the PC, simplifies the development.
That's what the user is looking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Larry, I'm not familiar with NT. You're the NT guru here. NT is not plug and play? Compatible? It's not, huh? Not even the workstation?
No, it recognizes it will recognize a plug and play BIOS, which means it'll recognize some of your hardware, but you must configure it manually. Audio cards, sound cards, video cards, modems. No, it is not plug and play.
So 95 is more friendly to the
user and 98 is even more friendly. I mean, they just keep adding, but again, 98 is still sort of a hodgepodge program.
I heard that and I was wondering.
Now, that's been the whole big thing on NT is plug and play. Everyone would love to have it.
Robert, good morning. You're on 850 The Buzz.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I recently changed from Netscape 2 to Netscape 4. And
about time.
Yeah. Well, I run into a couple of problems. I just wondered if any of you guys maybe have any ideas on them. First of all, I'm using a Pentium 75 with 16 meg of RAM. And Windows 3.1.1.
Okay.
I noticed now that after changing to Netscape 4, if I minimize Netscape and do something else, it won't come back to life when I...
At all?
No. If I double-click the icon, nothing happens now.
If you double-click the minimized icon?
Yeah, the Netscape icon in my internet group, it won't...
No. If you minimize,
yes,
then you need to go to the one that's at the bottom left.
and click on it to bring it back up. When you minimize, are you talking about closing the program or minimizing?
No, just minimizing. I have all my internet programs in a group called Internet.
I understand, but wait a second. Hold it, Robert. Raise the bottom of your desktop about half an inch on 3.1, okay? When you minimize Netscape, you're going to see Netscape at the bottom left, minimized.
Well, I mean, I see the Netscape icon in my internet
group. No, two different things. Two different things.
Okay.
What you are trying to do is you're trying to start another Netscape navigator.
I always did this before with two, and it worked.
Okay, I don't know I don't know how you did it before, but what I'm saying right now is this is exactly what happens. If you click on any program in 3.1 and you try to bring it up from the desktop, it will not come up. Because if it's minimized, that's it. It can only come up once. So raise the bottom of your desktop. Just grab the bottom of the desktop of Program Manager, I should say, the 3.1. Raise it up about half an inch, and you'll see Netscape down there. Behind the scene, there is a Netscape. Little bitty thing on the bottom left. Double-click it, and you're back where you were.
Well, okay, I'll certainly give that a try, but basically I thought I had that same Netscape in my internet group, which was what I
Robert,
was able to do with all the other programs.
Robert, you called with a question.
Okay. Okay, one
do it and let me know if it works for you.
Okay, second question.
The other thing you can do, by the way, is Alt-Tab. You can press the Alt key and Tab and Tab and Tab and Tab until you see Netscape. And let go, and it'll be up there.
Okay, I'll give that one a try, too. That should certainly try. Quick question or comment about Netscape 4. I just installed the Navigator, not the full communicator.
Good.
I like Eudora for...
Absolutely, I agree with you.
...for my mail. But it seems that I can't mail a page now from within Netscape.
That's true. That is the problem. I never done it, but I know, if you use the Navigator, it doesn't have the mailing.
Not even just a simple mail, just to send a page off to somebody.
Yeah, it's, I need to go and look at it. Mm.
You know,
I'll tell you what, give me a call later on.
Okay.
852-2121.
Yeah.
And I have a machine with 3.1 that I'm using. With both Navigator and Communicator, and let me see if there is a way to do it.
If you right click, one of the choices is Send Page, but nothing happens; it just disappears when you try it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Sure, Robert.
Bye.
Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Yeah, that's interesting. With the 3.1, I don't know why with 2.0, with version 2.0, you could click on it and get back into it, but that's an interesting. Interesting concept.
Old questions. I mean,
old questions.
Those are old issues. You know, now we use.
It doesn't matter. Those old issues.
No legacy
are being,
stuff.
These old issues are being used by a lot of people out there. Mr. Lennox. Now he's.
Oh, I like Lennox. Oh, it's so much fun.
Somebody give me something to throw at him.
Now, John, well, I wouldn't. Don't say that too loud.
Yeah, I mean, you want to use Unix? Go to a real Unix. Okay.
Hit that on that note. You deal with all the Linux people.
No, Linux is nice, and it was geared toward people that started. You know, it's very user friendly. Here that's got colors for different things. I mean, the text in different color for doing certain things.
And it's got a lot of applications now that are freeware out there.
Most of them. I mean, all of them.
There's a nice page on the web.
There's a big users group for Linux.
Yeah. I can see why. I mean, it installed easily. It's inexpensive. And
only thing is it doesn't do Microsoft Word, and it doesn't do...
That's
see,
true.
That's the
true.
Thing. It's not an operating system for
businesses.
Your... No. Well, no. That's not true businesses, because a lot of businesses do run on Unix.
Yeah, you're right.
For
as a server. The people
not,
who are out there on desktops are using word processors and
right.
spreadsheets and
it's
and
not databases. There. It doesn't exist
can write
there
it.
Is a white.
Oh yeah,
there is a word processor.
Oh yeah, and there's a spreadsheet and there's a. I mean, it's a whole bunch of stuff. I just am going to have to. I needed a new toy to play with.
That's fine. Oh, there's nothing wrong with it. I would love for you to know how to use it.
So, and you can do it on. I got a little separate hard drive for my laptop, and I learned on that. And
okay.
Hot swap it out. And
your calls are coming up next on the station that want to pay your rent or your mortgage and your car payment. 850 The Buzz. Welcome back to the computer. It's 98 on 850 The Buzz. What is it, John? John, our producer, is sitting there and shaking his hand.
Well, his day's about over here, and then he's going out to his other job. To sell books to the world.
Okay. Our number is 860-0850, pound 850. If you are a 360 communication customer and in your car, just call. We pay for the call. And we're talking with Kevin Farini of Cyrix slash
a national
semiconductor company. Yeah.
I actually have two different business cards right now. One's
really?
Green and one's blue.
Yeah. As long as it's not pink.
As long as the paycheck.
I check that every other week.
Doesn't matter, brother.
And you don't care who's signed at the bottom,
right?
Cash is yours.
Deposit it as quickly as I can.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice if you got two of them, one from each?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to the superstructure of Cyrix? Are they still in place, or did they get absorbed totally?
Well, the organization pretty well got absorbed. I would say the top management guys, you know, you have a clash of management at that point, and they either find them places or move on. So, you know, like the ex-CEO and so forth went on and did.
How many people
else
lost their jobs?
No one actually lost
their
job. I mean, the entire function in Richardson, Texas, came over as a division. We're in Richardson, Texas, and Longmont, Colorado, in terms of our development areas, and they just rolled right in. And so now we're a division of National, and you know, it takes 6 months for these organizations to really merge, because now we have chipset issues, and we're now going to pull the MPEG, you know, the multimedia stuff from MediaMatics, a different division of National, right on chip. So all the architecture guys are getting together, and it's pretty wonderful, actually. It's very, very synergistic.
Exciting. Yeah, it sounded like when you talked about it earlier, it was really a good marriage.
From a technology point of view, there's no clash of the product line at all. You know, we can lift technology that exists within National, and National gets microprocessor cores that they didn't have.
And your developer just got to be thrilled, because the opportunities for, they have all these resources now.
Yep, and it's a function of how many transistors do you have. And we've got a state-of-the-art fab in South Portland, Maine, and, you know, we'll be having 10 million transistor budgets here in a year. And now the question is, how much of this do we want to integrate? You know, what do we integrate first, and what's the order of integration?
That sounds like it would be good for the American consumer, for the worldwide consumer, because we are talking those kind of markets, as you were saying.
We're certainly projecting hundreds of millions of unit opportunities. You know, when the VCR came down to $200 from $800 or whatever, every household just about in the world, in this country anyway, has one. Versus what, 15 years ago, it didn't even exist.
That's what we were talking about last time, about the video phone and the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a novelty.
Right.
But it's, according to Intel, it's going to be part of the desktop. You know, you're going to have the camera there, and it's going to be just like you have a mouse.
Yeah, I think the problem there is beyond microprocessors, though. It's bandwidth.
Well,
you need a lot of bits running up and down the phone line for you to get, I mean, you see max headroom right now in this video conferencing.
Well, the thing here is that it's not, the bandwidth is not an issue, because the main, what they're pushing is not really over the internet. But it's point-to-point. They have their new, the 284 standard, which is point-to-point on the phone. You call direct. Now, long distance, you're going to incur long distance charges. But
Is that like a T1 link? I mean, a megabit link?
No, 33. Well, actually, it's a 56K. The modem was a 56 flex, is a 56 flex. And I was talking with the manager of that division that developed it, Jeff Abadi, for about an hour, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was unbelievable. I was telling everybody, you know, at the end when we were saying goodbyes, I was in such a mindset that I reached over to shake his hand. I mean, that's how you know, you are kind of get into this.
Yeah, and we came out last Sunday to your place, and we were trying it because Intel has set up. One of the things that's interesting is Intel, of course, as they move forward in another area. But we were on the phone with their center in Colorado, where you can test this thing out, and it was truly amazing. There's not a lot of lag time right now. I'm sure, and that will increase as either the phone bandwidth gets better or the phone lines get modernized. But it is, and it's very simple to use.
Yep.
It was very impressive, and you can see where, as Jeff, who was here last week, was on the radio last week with us, was saying, where companies could use this for not just teleconference, but training programs and things like this. Because it was real cool.
It was really nice, like, to say, well, the software you're using is not like mine. I say, well, what do you use? And I was saying, well, mine has that thing. I said, just a second. And he picked up his camera, and he turned over to his monitor, and I could see exactly what he's using, That was
right.
Something that, your engineers could use from one point to another. I got a board problem here. Here it is.
The guy at Gateway or Packer Bell trying to debug your problem.
Right. Uh-huh.
Jeez, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. So I think that's where I think that this is all headed and will be such a great commercial success. But I mean, obviously, there's some technical. It's like trying to download stuff from the internet now. Bandwidth.
Yeah, on the internet. I mean, forget it, because I was using. I got a copy of CUCME,
mm-hmm.
and it's like 10 seconds per frame. We're not talking frames per second. We're mm-hmm. talking how many seconds.
Yeah.
It's not there. No, the internet is not there, and it's not. I mean, it's still nice because you see the picture of the person and you can talk to him. Or chat with him, and a couple of seconds later, you'll see another shot of him. But here, it's actually—I mean, you see the person talk to you.
Yeah, the delay is very small.
Very, very.
Maybe
small.
A second. I mean, it really was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And
it wasn't. It's less than a second. I mean, when you think about it, the lip sync is
sort of like watching a porn movie with subtitles.
It's nice.
Maybe a Japanese monster movie.
You're tuned to Computers 98 on 850 The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, #850 if you're a 360 communication customer. I was looking here to see if we had any of the books to give away.
We have to bring something next week.
Took them.
Oh, I took the Windows 95 books.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need
to do that.
We do need to do that.
I'd rather you paid my mortgage for a year.
Sorry, you're
in a commercial.
You need to register.
We can't let you do it.
I think we could.
We could?
You were going to say?
No. What else was happening? Because we're running out of time. It's always nice to have Kevin here. We had a high-level, deep geek discussion today. But I think that these are issues that people are interested in.
Absolutely.
Chips and what's happening to their computers because cheaper prices, faster computers, more reliable, user-friendly.
Well, and the whole market has slid down. New price points, you get full-function PCs for under $1,000, whereas a year ago you didn't. Mm-hmm. And what that also means is that people really don't care about Intel Inside at that level.
No.
Getting value. I mean, we're finding that more and more that as we put out we and AMD put out millions of devices, that what people care about is the value in their machine and what they're getting for their money.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people always care about what they're spending, and people like you that come up here and let people know that there is this and this and that, and we're doing that and that, and
mm-hmm.
then we are telling people that it's fine, and because people they don't know rely on people like us to let them know that hey, it's okay, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I still get people that say, I want the Intel, and you have to sit there and explain maybe why it's more expensive and why you can use something else, and many times I succeed. And
well, the way I look at that is if you want to pay the Intel tax for the brand name that they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars having guys in glitter suits dancing to disco music in the fabs, and you pay for that.
Absolutely.
You made a very good point. It's not people don't care as much now about that Intel Inside. It is the performance of the product for the price they pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as the product performs reliably, which yours does, AMD does, the competition's out there now.
And Compact, the absolute number one manufacturer in the world, has helped drive that. They sell the value of their machines with the Media GX or the K6 from AMD. They're selling their company and the product that they have as opposed to Intel Inside.
Yeah. It's a real interesting stuff. You're right. The market just keeps moving and moving and moving. That was the whole thing about technology is getting faster and faster. So, you know, when the government used to try to break up monopolies, it used to be a significant thing. Anymore, I don't even know if we aren't wasting all this money against Microsoft, because by the time this lawsuit is settled, if it ever is, stuff will be so far changed that it'll be non-recognizable.
This is just something to. I think it's helping Microsoft more than hurting it. You know, their name out there. You know, yeah, the name is out there. Larry, you want to say?
A lot of happy holidays to everybody out there.
Passover to everybody.
And all the people
Easter and
InterSolve. I actually want to say a special hello to Doug at Stay Online, because he and I had a nice talk yesterday, and to my wife Paula and daughters Rebecca. Yes, your donuts are on the way. And
that's what the call,
that's what the call was about. And
Larry, it's Passover, man.
What can I say? Oops!
Oops! Right.
Matzah donuts.
Yeah, matzah donuts.
It's been fun today. I always like having Kevin here because he knows a lot. He can explain it clearly.
And it was nice. When did I call you, Kevin? What was it, Wednesday?
Yeah.
And I said, you know, no, yeah, that's right. You called, and then I called. I said, you want to come up? I said, oh, yeah.
Great.
You know, and that's great to get somebody of that caliber to just, hey, I'm coming, yeah.
And go get the New Yorker and read that article on Scott McNeely. It's wonderful. I mean, I think if you have any interest in the software business as a whole, this is must reading, because it will give you an idea of just how ridiculous this stuff really is, how personal it is.
There's a lot of egos in the industry.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Sure.
I would.
I guess if you're worth $1 billion or multi-billions, you know, you're going to have an ego.
All right. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again. John, thank you. That's it for today.
John's clapping.
Thank you for tuning in to 850 The Buzz and to Computers 98. And thank you, John, for producing. And thank you, Kathy, for recording. Back up, as usual, practice safe computing. Back up your hard drive. And don't forget to use the virus scanner. We'll be here next Saturday at 8. Until then, keep your dial right here on the station that wants to pay your rent or your mortgage, plus your car payment, 850 The Buzz.